Okay, we are now
Okay.
ready to start. Yes. Yeah, we're now on
Excuse
Facebook.
me.
So, good morning, everybody, and welcome again to our podcast, Under the Mango Tree podcast. So, Under the Mango Tree podcast is a podcast that Jill and I initiated, where we would like to not only promote Black-owned business, but also to support and empower each other as we develop our businesses. My name is Elizabeth Horleman, and I want to welcome you to this, my Under the Mango Tree podcast. And our topic today is actually in Swahili, which I want to give over Jill to introduce herself and also to introduce the topic.
Good morning today once again. My name is Gillian Luangu Pirot from Nairobi Restaurant and Grill. We are in Eshbourne. Our topic today, I'll quote it in Swahili. Nani alituambia kuwa mzungu ni mtu mwerevu sana. I mean, this is a common, almost daily saying that I used to hear from my grandfather, also later on from my parents. And in Swahili, this means who told us that the white man is very intelligent. So today we are going to talk about this, and we are going to look at it in the aspect that how does it affect our business? How does it affect the Black people's business? Yeah, so today we are going to discuss this and also to look to motivate. We are actually asking these questions so as to motivate those the Black business people who want to start a new business or who are already in their businesses. So I'll hand it back over to you, Elizabeth.
Yes, thank you very much. The title is that Who Told Us That White People Were Intelligent in Swahili? Swahili is a language that is spoken in the Great Lake region area and in East Africa, is one of the, I think one of the largest spoken languages across the continent. I also got the information that South Africa is also considering to make it as one of its national languages. So when we talk about why we were always taught and also made to believe that the white person should be the measuring rod of our success, this is a way of what is normally called as we have internalized the oppression that they did to us during the time of slavery and during the time of colonization. Because how do you discount yourself and that you can achieve and take somebody else's? Now I'm just thinking of somebody who is, completely has got no contact with the white person, but wants to believe that the things that they have been told should be the measuring rod of how they should define their success. Their success is only defined in the sense that it is measurable up to the white person's level. And the white person's level, for me, it's actually, I don't know how you see it, but for me, it's always based on a goalpost system that no one is ever able to achieve. So the goalpost is always being pushed, Every time you think you have reached, you find the goalpost has already been moved again forward. So for me, the self-hate of ourselves and the love of what is Western, is that what I think we need to look up in terms of when we are doing our businesses? Why is it that we always want to measure it according to the white person? Why can't we elevate our own standards and put this is our minimum and this is our maximum that we need to see and must not compare with anybody else but ourselves? Or what do you think?
I'll touch back on why we always use the white people as a measuring rod, because I notice most of the times when I announce an event for my business or when I'm organizing something, I always put in the statement, this and this time European time.
Yeah. Yeah.
it's so interesting to notice the way all of us Black people, when you write European time, we know no, it's not African time, because the stereotype, or it's always obvious that we never keep time. Like in Kenya, there's this common joke whereby you're waiting for someone in a restaurant for over 1 hour. You call the person tells you, I'm just around the corner, wave. And the person could be at home sleeping. He's calling you, you're talking to him actually when he's still in bed.
Yeah.
So that's why I think at this point, if you use the white people measuring rod in terms of timing, I think we have to keep it up with that, because as ourselves, I don't know where we went wrong with the timing. I really can't explain what happened in this case. And then in terms of preparing your own business, it's like you have to fit in. You have to fit in into the European niche. As much as I'm running a Kenyan restaurant, I have to make sure that it's attracting the white people, because they're the biggest population around my area, you know? So I think these are some of the factors when I look at from it from a practical and experience, my experience is that I have to put up the standards to match the Europeans. The only thing I don't do, I do not adjust my food to impress anybody. I would like people to eat Kenyan dishes as it is back at home. Yeah, because I've had cases, somebody telling me, I want pilau, I don't know, without onions. How can you miss onions in pilau? I mean, onion is the main ingredient. Without onions in pilau, that is not pilau. I don't know what else I can call it.
Mm.
You know, so in terms, I'm flexible in terms of keeping the European time, which has really been engraved into our skulls. I don't know if I can say it that way. And in terms of food, for me, I wouldn't be lax and try to adjust my ingredients to fit anybody. If you like Kenyan food, you like it, you know. But I think people like it that it's original and it is the way we do it, like in Kenya.
What I try to tell people when you're talking about the European time is that, how do I get out of this stereotype? Because that is a stereotype, like the way you said that we're using the white people as a measuring rod. And as an example of, they are the ones who know how to keep time. That is very, that is actually not true. The important thing is to realize, if me as a person, what is important for me and my business, right? So it is a character issue. How can I twist my mindset? How can I change my mindset to respect, number one, my own business, number two, myself, or number one, myself, and number two, my business. Yeah. So we move around, we move away from the this white stereotype, this stereotyping that we can only keep time the way the white people can keep time. Whereas when we look at the Gaucher curve, you're going to see there also are white people that don't keep time. So there's always that exception of white people that are not going to keep time. But the notion that they are the measuring rod, that is where we need to come out from. Because if I am always constantly, and this is what I always do, I have set for myself my bare minimum that I want to give to my clients. Below that, if I give my clients below that, I have a feeling like maybe they shouldn't even pay me for the services that I've done. And that is my below minimum. That means, what does it entail for my below minimum? I am at the training center for me a day before. I have arranged, decorated, and prepared everything so that when the next day when I'm going inside there, when the client is coming, I'm part and parcel of the fixtures. I'm part and parcel of the furniture. You know, I behave like, you know, I've always been here, and me and that chair, we've always been there, but I have made it that is my bare minimum. So whenever I take contracts, I tell my client, what do I need to have in place for me to give my 100%? So I think that if we can change our mindsets from removing the white element out as a measuring rod, it is a process. It's not just going to disappear just like that, because like you said, it has really been ingrained in us.
I think we really need to change our mindset, because I've noticed, for example, when I organize an event, somebody will tell you, I tell them our event has to start at 6 o'clock, because for me, my event is about food. It's mostly attended by families. So I have to start my event at around 5-ish, 6 o'clock, so that people with families can take their kids at home and stuff like that. Then you'll get a comment like, what about for us Africans who don't keep time? We come after midnight. So people forget, when you're renting a venue, in most cases, you'll only be allowed to use a venue until a certain time.
Yeah.
Or if you extend the hours, you charge something like 70 plus euros per any extra hour.
Yeah.
So this is what people don't understand, that you're in, the longer you stay at the event, you're incurring more costs.
Yeah, and this African hour means they want it at the same price, but your prices are shifting from that what you offered, you are offering them, that
yes,
is a special offer, to another level where you have, like, for instance, you are talking about the rental is going to be increased, and then you have personnel costs that are going to increase, not to mention the insurance costs that are going to increase. And then you have also other technicalities. Maybe this location that you have rented is not designed to have, you know, to cater for people after certain hours.
Yes.
So
especially if it's in a residential area, they expect you to be out there by 1 o'clock, for example.
Yes.
You cannot stay longer because the people in the residential area want to sleep.
Yeah.
So we really have to change our mindsets on the in regarding time and anything else. Because for me, I think everybody should be able to as a person to set up their own standards that will also fit or satisfy everybody without thinking I have to set up these standards because of the white people. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to set up, you know, your own standards. And also respect where you come from, appreciate where you come from. The most funniest thing is, Jill, when we were doing Decolonize the Mind, we came to find out there is so many things that white people have actually stolen from us and reintroduced to us as theirs and claimed that this is the bare minimum standard. Yes, it was ours all the time, you know.
Yes.
So Decolonizing the Mind, like the way I've wrote the introduction here, is reclaiming that was being declared to be evil, you know, that was being demonized. Reclaim it back. It was ours before, right? So I don't think that the fact that we should discount ourselves to be able to show white people that we are fitting in. I don't think it is right, because psychologically you're going to suffer. I remember that, if I may tell a story time, where somebody was telling me, you know, when migrants, they come here, they cannot even speak the language properly and, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, that is why the level of the education system in Germany has gone down. And I'm telling them, well, being able to, for Germans to speak the language, I don't see where that equates to being intelligent. What else are they supposed to speak? Which other language were they supposed to speak when not German itself? So if you're saying somebody is not a family, a whole couple or whatever that is German, that their children are not learning proper German, it cannot lie squarely on the migrants or people who have moved here. Yeah, because as we are acquiring yet a new skill, but this is their mother tongue. So if you cannot say just because I can speak Luo, that means that I'm intelligent. It doesn't. It is a skill. Yeah. So it does not mean that when we come here, that we should bend and break and do everything just because we think these are the fitting standards. Because this is also under research, and people are finding out this thing about, you know, picking the language like the Germans or whatever is actually so unnecessary, you know.
Even the food. You don't know how many African clients come to my restaurant with their children and they tell me, can you please do pomace? My child does not eat African dishes.
Uh-huh.
This one always shocks me, honestly. I'm sorry, but how? Why?
And
Yeah.
Because
you know, if you came and you tell me, can you make for us pomace? I'm like, I don't do that. No.
Yeah. I have another friend of mine. She tells me that the daughter can never eat, and quote unquote, those African dishes. The word alone, those, means that you have really degraded the foods that you are brought up with.
Yeah.
You know, the foods, the human foods that you are eating, that you call it those foods. It is so degrading. And at the end of the day, I always tell people, it does not show that the food is bad. It kind of shows what character of a person you are.
Yeah. Whereby people forget, like, if you look at our grandmothers who are over 100 years, they are eating those foods that are being degraded. And now we have these other kinds of food where we're just suffering from cancer and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know, we have to change our mindset and be proud of what we have, really, because our dishes are very rich.
Yeah. And yeah,
Life, our traditions are very rich. I mean, we have to be proud of what we have.
Yeah.
We have to appreciate what we have.
Yeah. And, you know, the reason also why we are the way we are is also that even up to today, when I listen to Kenyans, I'm a TikTok addict. So when I'm in TikTok and I listen to how Kenyans talk with full praise about German and how this and that is working and how everything in Europe is functioning and working and how everything back home is not working and functioning, and they have also their own reasons. This all lies for me in our education system, because our education system is designed in such a way that we kind of consume that from the West, but never from what is available for us locally, which for me basically means that if I am not still aware that the European and the white people's spaces have developed on the backs of our ancestors, it can only mean that the education system has failed. And me, as somebody who is internalized the racism, I'm reproducing it again by making claims like, you know, in Europe, we don't do this. You know, in Europe, we don't do that. And you know, in Europe, we don't do this. These are signs that you have internalized something seriously, because it should be us in Kenya, maybe we don't do this, or us in Ghana, we don't do this, but not the other way around, always praising one and always devaluing the other. It should come out where you're also appreciating the other just as you're appreciating where you are.
On the other side, people forget what impact they have on the younger generation.
Oh, yeah.
Because when they talk like this, you know, the people back at home, they think, wow, these guys, they just sit at home and they have they buy their expensive TVs, they have all iPhones and everything. They do not know what it takes for you as an African person to walk out of that door to go to work.
Yeah.
Or to walk out of that door and go and open a restaurant. They do not know how hard it is. So these people, they have a different picture of our lives in Europe. It's not easy. It's like, in my case, I think I only sleep for 6 hours or maximum 6 hours. I don't sleep. I have to work hard to earn what I have.
Yeah,
it's not that easy. And if anything is going wrong in Kenyans, we as Kenyans have to do something about it, not just to sit here and just say, yeah, like in Kenya, it's this and this. What are you as a Kenyan doing about it in Kenya? Why are you putting all your values in Germany and yet you came from Kenya? Do your children, at some point, your children would like to go back home. What are they going back to?
Yeah.
This is my view. I mean, when you sit here and say, oh, Kenya is this, what are you doing about it?
Yeah.
It's true. We have corrupted leaders. But what are we doing about our corrupted leaders? We cannot just be sitting here and making the younger generation think, if I just go out in Germany, things will be nice. Then they come here, they get into depression, they get all sorts of hardships. And these people who are really motivating them to come here, they are nowhere to be seen to help these people who get here and get into a depression.
Yeah, that is also the other topic that we are going to talk about, how we delivering the wrong picture, delivering the telenovelas pictures back home and giving people the impression of life is like in a telenovela, and you also kind of, you know, do a tour of your house or, you know, stuff like that. I mean, this is technology. I'm not against it. I find it's very nice so that people can also see exactly what is it that we are having here, but giving people the wrong impressions, particularly the younger generation, that we should be really encouraged right now to have a different self-worth of themselves, of their skin color, of wherever they are, whatever they decide to do, but to start off from a point of pride, to start off from a point of self-worth, as opposed to going into a space where you believe this is the salvation. Only here is where I can be able to make myself work. The same things that we came here believing that this is the solution for us. This is our, you know, this is where we're going to get our affirmations of being ourselves, of being allowed to do this, that, and the other. And we came to find out very, very fast that, like you're saying, we did not factor in things like loneliness. We did not factor in things like pressure, the stress,
racism,
the racism, or the racism. I think the racism I should have started at the very beginning, and then go on the loneliness, the, you know, the depression that we're going to be having. And the worst part about the depression is, right now when we are doing decolonizing, is we're coming to realize we do not have enough Black people who are therapists who can be able to understand what we are going through. So you find most of the people who are going to be taking medical help from the doctors around, they are always going to be just prescribed medicines, because the doctors are not really keen to find out what is she talking about or what is he talking about. So the prescriptions are always based on how easier can we manage, and not how can we look for a diagnosis or a solution that can be able to help the patient.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So when we are already going on that, where we've already also talked about how we always get embarrassed with our own culture and our own practices, I also find the other aspect that is a big problem for me to that I needed to talk about today was the criticizing. You know, how we are very fast to criticize. And I'm not saying criticizing is bad. There's a type of criticizing that we have, a culture of criticizing that we have, that really we need to go in and review. How can we criticize? And I'm going to talk about when Jill, you had a story to tell about criticizing and your restaurant. Then I can also go about explaining how do people actually go about criticizing.
Yeah, I must say, okay, the criticisms I get from both parties, I get from the Germans and from the Kenyans. And, you know, okay, from the German parties, from their point of view, what they expect.
Yeah.
And then from the Africans, you'll find even somebody who does not cook at all will criticize me very heavily. Because at some point, when people come to my restaurant, I always make sure, despite the fact that I'm the one cooking in the kitchen, I always make sure I come out also at least to talk to the clients a bit. What is your experience? Is this your first Kenyan food experience and this kind of stuff? And one time a Kenyan just sat there and told me, you know what? The food does not taste like at home. And I sit there and I'm like, even if I'm at home, if I eat samosas from 5 different kiosks, they will not taste the same.
The same. Yeah.
They will not. Pilau. I will eat pilau from 5 different vibandas. They will not taste the same. They will be different. There's always somebody will have their own way of cooking. Like when you saw one of my videos where I was doing biryani cooking with the Nyota Ndogo, she has her own style. And people at her restaurant, they love her style of cooking biryani.
Yeah.
There are other styles that I know. So there's no way somebody, especially a Kenyan, can come to my restaurant and really criticize that my food is not like from home, or somebody be like, these sukumas are from Aldi. I mean, hello? It cannot be. If you've planted the sukumas, please get in touch with me and tell me, oh, Jill, let me sell you some sukumas. I'll highly appreciate it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, these are some of the stuff. Instead of us supporting each other and standing together with each other to improve our economical, how can I call it? I'm losing the word. The economical empowerment for us Africans and Black people, we criticize each other. You also bad mouth us to other communities who end up saying, if a Kenyan thinks their Kenyan restaurant is not good, then who am I?
Yeah, to go and do it.
I mean, like the case I'm seeing online regarding these two beautiful twins who started a very beautiful brand. What is going down there is so sad. I mean, it scares me as a business person. I'm like, what will happen if only in this case you're being let down by your own people? It's not easy. But what do we do about it? How can we do to turn around things? I don't know.
For me, the thing that I always tell people is in everything that we do, you have to look for the best or the ideal lane to follow, the ideal line to follow. Criticism is not bad at all. It is the way that we do it. And I think that the fact that we have never been taught how we are supposed to be criticizing, I think that is where the problem is. So that if we go inside, we are like an elephant in a glass house. criticizing all also means that I would like that this person to see this person prosper. Yeah. Criticizing means you have seen some cracks, and those cracks you just want to maybe highlight to the person there that you think maybe was not aware. Not that criticizing, you know, you are now telling somebody and this is bad and this is bad. You are accusing. That is what the people were doing with you, accusing you of, you know, of not giving the Sukuma Wiki, not thinking there must be some other reasons as to why you are not able to get those Sukuma Wikis. Getting Sukuma Wikis from Kenya to here is not an easy, is not easy, particularly for Kenyan restaurants. Because our
how can we have a Kenyan restaurant that there's no Tusker?
Even Tusker, you know, our Kenyan government has not. No, I think the other day they've now negotiated that some of our products are supposed to be coming here on an easier, in an easier import export lines. But before, even I remember you saying you bought seeds so that you could plant Sukuma Wiki here. They were all burnt at customs, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So try always to look for soft compliments. In that criticizing, there was absolutely nothing that you saw that was good in that place. Absolutely nothing. Always try to think, what did I see that I found very nice? Maybe start that way.
Yes.
Compliment first what you've seen that is very nice. No? And then don't continue with but. But in any time, even when I'm doing the critical whiteness trainings, and I tell white people that when I explain to them something and they come with the but, once you put the but inside a sentence, it means that you have not understood exactly what the person is saying. All you have done is not listened, but you're only ready to answer and to give responses. So try not to give, try not to use that word but. Instead, you could give advice. Yeah, in my opinion, you know,
my suggestion.
Oh, do you know, I saw at another place that person was doing this, that, and the other. Make it look like you are contributing something constructive and something that is helpful to the person, but avoid things like direct accusations. Sending somebody to a person's place to just look for the hair in the soup, like the way the Germans say, that is not being constructive. That is being hideous. Yeah.
Yes.
So you need to look at, what am I trying to achieve at the end of the day? For me, I've come to realize, and I've also come to appreciate, that if I'm not asked specifically, I do not volunteer. Instead, I stick to giving the compliments. I stick to giving the encouragement. I stick to, and I can also turn my criticism in a way of an empowerment. I'd like to see this place grow and, you know, get this and that we have, and maybe there was not enough space, and I'd like to see that next time when we're coming here, we're landing with a helicopter. So I'm using, you know, two different types of tools in just making the person know I appreciate. And of course, that me as a client, the next time when I come, I'd like to know, wow, you have progressed from here to there, because everybody wants to progress.
Yes. I mean, if I hear this, it motivates me. You know, there are times I wake up and I say, today I'm closing. Especially after listening to especially when people from home talk to you like this, you wake up and you're like, I'm closing, you know?
Yeah.
But if I would get this kind of suggestion and empowerment from you, I would be like, yeah, I would be more motivated to make it better, to make my dishes look nicer or present it better or make it tastier. It will motivate me also to go out there and find out more traditional, because for me, I'm really into traditional cooking. To give a twist or top up something in the menu, you know, get creative and all this kind of stuff. But when somebody just puts you down all the time and you're like, you wake up the next morning, you're just like, I better close this thing. There's no point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And finally, always try, this is something that I always tell both or everybody from any color of human beings, I always try to tell them, remain focused. I'm one person that I consider myself to be a pit bull. I'm focused. I remain focused. When I'm tackling a specific topic, you're not going to see me pulling 20 other examples without explaining why I'm bringing them in. And those 20,000 examples, if I have to bring them in, they have to be relevant to what I'm focusing on. So it is better to stay focused, you know, like when you are talking about the time when a Nigerian came and told you, you know, if you put here Nigerian foods, this place would be really packed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you told them, but I want to focus because we have 54 tribes in Kenya. Those are 54 different dishes, main dishes, not to mention the side dishes, not to mention the cultures around them. Some of those dishes are only served during wedding. Some are only funeral served. Some are for childbirth. Some are for breastfeeding. So we have a lot of things in our own Kenyan dishes that still has not been explored, has not been brought out, that I think that you are aiming to do.
Exactly.
And if you are to bring the Nigerian foods, you'd bring it without historical context.
Exactly. And also another thing is like the thing most of us Africans have done, or entrepreneurs, when we open something, we call it Afrikanish.
Yeah.
And when a German tells me, yeah, if Afrikanish Essen, I always ask, was it, which country?
Yeah.
Like, by the way, I don't know, it was just an African restaurant. So for me, I think it's important for us to call it Kenyan restaurant, Nigerian restaurant, you know, be specific so that when people go, they know. Because it's no wonder that most people think Africa is a country.
Yeah.
Not think
because we reproduce it. We reproduce
it. Afrikanische restaurant. For me, I wanted it to be specific Kenyan restaurant. We provide Kenyan dishes. And if it would be possible, I want to have, of course, Kenyan beer, which is so difficult to get or import. It's crazy. Mm. I wish people would understand this, you know, because I've seen there are Kenyans who've opened Kenyan markets where you can buy Kenyan dishes. How many times have I gone to these markets and I've been told the distributors have delayed distribution? And it's not only that, it's because the distributors have delayed. Then when it reaches at the airport or the ports, the German port or customs, it's again another drama on another level.
Yeah.
So it's not easy to get through our third world country products here. You know?
Not third world. We are not third world.
I don't like to use the word that I'm quoting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's at the customs, they tell me any seeds from the third world have to be looked into because they'll come and poison our ground and stuff. I'm like,
yeah. But when they were coming and bringing their foods to our places, that was fundamentally okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So finally, the last topic that we were going to bring on this topic was I wanted us to talk about the importance of networking, particularly in conjunction with also covering our backs, if I may say. I don't know how to use it. This is about the story of these twins, you know, the ones
yes.
that saw the very sad story. If you've not seen it, it's everywhere in TikTok, I think, and in Twitter, I'm not sure, where we do not cover our backs at all. You know, we watch as companies down spiral. And for this, I've got a very different story that I'd like to tell. There's a friend of mine. The time that I came to Germany, you could count how many black people were living in the town where I was living. And we knew each other. And for some reason, all our children were almost the same age. So that they grew at, you know, and they had a lot of contacts with each other. And one of the children in this group of ours, of I think were about 9 parents, and each had average 2 to 3 children, one of the boys went and started taking drugs. Yeah. And instead of watching the family down spiraled, I called the mother, met with her, and I asked her, where was I when this child was going through this phase? It is our responsibility. If I see your son walking around when I'm in Frankfurt and I catch him in a corner that he's not supposed to be, and I come and I tell you, you hear me tell somebody else, the question that you should ask me, where was I when that was happening? Mm. So the question should always be, when we are watching these companies down spiral, And we know very well, we could have said, we could have done. Why is it that it is okay for us to always do that? Take a step back and always watch the companies down spiral. Because I find it is very sad. These are our own economies. These are our own legacies that we're bringing up for our children in the future, right? Yeah. So I think that we've got to back ourselves very little. That's what I'm trying to say. We don't back ourselves as strong as other communities do with themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We do not support each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so unfortunate.
Yeah. And I think the best way...
Also, when I see with the Nigerian twin story, it's like,
yeah,
okay, when I get into a business, for my business, it's like, I'm very good in cooking. I know everything about the kitchen. Things like taxes, legal stuff. I'm not an expert in this.
No, and you don't want to be.
Yeah, you hire other people to do it for you. You trust them because you have a contract and you think they'll meet the contract conditions. But these are the people who let you down. And then you find somebody commenting like, yeah, you should have known this. This is common sense. It's not common sense to everybody. Everybody have their own parts, you know? Somebody who's an expert in cooking is not an expert in accounting.
Yes.
You know, and this is what I wish people would understand and stop being so malicious with their comments.
I found the comments really heinous because particularly because I think the twin sister, one of the twins, twin died on top of her.
On top of that.
And then what happened to us? When did we start becoming animals? When did we cease to be human beings to look at the humanity of everything that is around us? For me, I looked at it and when I saw that she had entrusted the business to a lawyer who was supposed to be doing, it was a huge business. I had a feeling it was like H&M. I saw where their factory was, I think in Lagos or in Ikeja, where they had, you know, rows and rows of machines making a whole series of clothes, you know, that our traditional clothes, summer clothes and everything. They were making them from size, I don't know what to size what. Size.
They have moved the production to Asia.
They've now moved the production to India. And yes, they have brought all the Indians, Indian this and Indian that, and just went in and swallowed somebody's dreams just like that at the point of time when they were at their lowest.
And back at home where the machine is the factory still producing? Are people still being employed?
Yes. No.
You know, so, these are things we have to think about on how to empower ourselves instead of downgrading somebody to that. It's so sad. I mean, I can't look at the story anymore. It is just... Yeah.
Now, the only call to action that I would like the us to do is to boycott these products of this man. Boycott, because those are exactly how white people behave when they come in and take over our things. Exactly that. Yes. They have now taken over the things. They know there is the African market. They are behind the scenes selling them with, you know, African models and everything. But the money is not going to our economy. It is going to a different economy. So we need to stop that money going back to that economy. If it is bad, it is bad. Let us maybe work and make sure that this young girl who has lost a human life, and with twins, I want to think it is even worse losing a twin.
Like a soulmate. It's like your the other half.
So I think that it is time that we should come out and maybe, I don't know these people. I've not spoken to them.
I also don't know. I have no idea who. Yeah, but
I'm supporting the fact
that. For me, it's that like they're my small sisters and we should back them up.
Yes. No? So I think that we have covered a lot today with our valuing ourselves, you know, breaking the circle of always what your parents used to tell you, that only those things that are done by white people should be considered the best, the success, the development. Let us start writing our own legacies. Let us start saying, I want to do a kitchen that, you know, I want to start a restaurant that looks like the one Jean is doing. That would be my bare minimum. Let us use ourselves as our role models and stop using those that even don't value us at all. as our role models, as our measuring rods. The measuring rod is not written somewhere that it is only supposed to be used on one person. You can use it on anybody. You can even create your own measuring rod. This is my measuring rod.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I've enjoyed the discussion.
I hope everybody else.
I've also, as usual, I always learn one or two things out of our discussion, despite the matter we brainstormed and talked about it. I still, whenever we talk, it's like something new comes in. I was like, okay, I didn't look at it this way, but now, yeah. So yeah. I really highly appreciate your time. And for those who are watching us, we appreciate that you took your time to watch us on Facebook and or any other social media. And we hope we have added some value to whatever you're doing or to whatever you intend to do. And thank you so much. Until next time, I really don't have our next topic in the head, but
Our next topic in the head.
Good.
We wrote it last time. Our next topic is going to be one that is going to be a very difficult one to tackle. So if anybody wants to join us, you're welcome. This is called the African patriarchy in the business. How business women are having difficulties doing business around spaces where they are African men. We want to tackle about this. It is a topic that is like never supposed to be spoken, but I think we need to address it. And I think that the men should come forward and listen to what are those difficulties that we are experiencing. Maybe they are not aware, and maybe they could also contribute and say exactly, and why can we not do it this other way? Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that is going to be our next topic. So once a week, under the Mango Tree podcast,
on Monday.
Please follow us on Mondays from 11 o'clock. We are working hard that Jill gets enough followers on TikTok, because then TikTok is a more interactive platform. If you can follow Nairobi Restaurants on TikTok, all of you, that would be lovely, so that she can get her 1,000. I think you need 1,000 followers.
To start going live
on TikTok as well. So follow us on all the social media. We are very grateful. And we're going to go back, and I've seen there were responses in the other email, in the other podcast. We're going back to respond on that. So wish you guys all a lovely Monday, a wonderful start in the week. Until soon.
Thank you very much, and have a nice day. Okay. Bye.
Bye.